has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. We will begin with the L'shem Yehud, Uchabrichu Ishkinte, Bibhiklu, Urshimu, Ukilu, Ukilu, Urshimu, Leakta, L'shem Yudhe Bavate, Yehud, Jalim B'shem Kod, Limud Torah Mitzvah,
has joined.
Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Karanei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Karanehu. We are studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Vayera in section 27. We will be studying the verse, Pasuk number 378, which is continuing our study from yesterday that we still have questions to be answered. Utachate hakiti ki mate. Salal will wigomer tachate kobene alma. I in yud malacham of it. Nachka nishmatayu. Ite ma debar nashta al yada. Dahahu malah hamavit nafak nishmateya lavake elaman dekatel leya pek nishmateya adla matazimneya lushalta a beyahahu malah hamavit. The translation, come and see, it is written, if a corpse is found slain, the souls of all human beings are taken away by the angel of death. But if you say that the angel of death took away the soul of this person who was found slain, you would be in error. He who killed him has taken his soul away before it was time for the angel of death to rule. My commentary. The Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. How does one know this? The body is found outside of a community, yet the person might have died of a heart attack, which implies the angel of death. Remember, this is a murder, not a natural death. Questions, comments, thoughts? Nobody wants to address the issue? Was anybody on the call yesterday so that they understand the flow?
What if that was the man that died, that his soul was taken away? What if that was, I'm just going to say, because I don't know the words to say, what if it was payback for something that, for reincarnation?
The simple answer to that is, the Torah says, do not murder. And Hashem never violates his mitzvot to us. So if someone is murdered, then a human being decided that, and it was before the man's time versus telling. Yeah. And if he was, if it was payback in that sense, it's still not the manner that the Torah prescribes for that payback. Now, Moses killed the Egyptian, and we are taught through the understanding it wasn't payback. It was balancing the actions. And there's a difference between the two consciousnesses. Moses killed the Egyptian to balance the action of the nephesh of Cain having killed Abel. But there was no payback involved. There was no, I'm getting back to, you know, the balancing of actions, which is part of the tikkun, is a way of bringing the world into balance. I hope I'm being clear in explaining that. But if someone is killing someone because of payback from a previous incarnation, they're violating the Torah. Because the Torah's action statement is do not murder. Some people translate that as do not kill. But that would mean that no one should ever go to war. And there are times when war is appropriate. The understanding is do not murder.
Right.
And payback would imply murder. And what this verse is telling us is that the man is, it's not his time. The angel of death wasn't told to go get that soul. The soul was taken by the person who committed the murder. Which is why it becomes such a more horrendous crime. Because where did that soul go? It left the body of the person killed, but where did it go? If it's in a month where the human soul came to elevate to the next level, where does it go?
Could the soul or part of the soul go into the part of the body that actually committed the action?
It's possible. We don't know because I've never read it. The Sefer Gilgulim doesn't explain that issue because I've read that. And so I would know the answer to the question that was being asked by Brandy. So, generally speaking, yes, that is where I think the soul does go when it leaves. That's why the statement in this pasuk from the Zohar, he was killed, he who killed him has taken his soul away, which would imply that the soul is now ensconced in the body along with the original person's soul. And that's where a lot of confusion can take place. It's a lot of aspect where Satan can come in and create chaos, both on the level of the reincarnation as well as in the physical world.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Hanok.
You're welcome, Brandy. Is there anybody else want to make comments, or should I move on to the next verse?
I would like to ask a question because I have not been at this time before. Can you tell me where I can go to read what you guys are reading? I apologize.
Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
The first row, the right-hand column. When that landing page opens up, it's a list of all of the parashas scroll to Parasha Vayera, which is right after Lech Lecha. So it's early in the, it's not a far scroll. When the link opens up, it's a landing page for all of the parasha, all of the sections of the Zohar for Vayera that I have completed as of yet. And so you'll find that we're in section 27. When that opens up, you'll be able to find the verse, which we're about to read, verse 379.
Thank you.
And it also, you'll be able to backtrack and see the verses from before. And you'll find the recordings on the recordings link, which is available in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the last row, the third column from the left. So you can get to the recordings link and follow the pattern if you miss a day.
Okay. Thank you.
Verse 379. Ugin kach v'laretz lo yakuf par v'gomer v'laretz dilan v'ladilon t'kaemihu l'miste alma l'magana u'katrega tadir kafshin de garlin De gazlin minea mai de itzlea, v'nat l'nadla v'kud shabarichu hayes al benoi, ugin kach tarevin al hayegla, v'gin l'takana imea ma de itnetel. Ahi o nishmata de barnash mineya vela ishtecha mekatrega al alma. The translation. This is why it is written, and the land cannot be cleansed. The killers are not satisfied that the evil serpent inflicts punishment on the world without reason and falsely accuses them constantly of sins, so that they have to take away that which he is entitled to receive. But the Holy One, blessed be he, has mercy on his children. This is why they sacrifice a heifer. In so doing, they correct two things: that the soul of the man was taken from him, referring to the man found slain, and B, they prevent him from prosecuting the world. By commentary, the Pasuk clearly is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The world, meaning the generation, is guilty of not revealing sufficient light to prevent the early demise or the murder. And that's explaining, or helping to explain, this pasuk. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, I have another comment. When Cain killed Abel and the blood fell to the ground, then it took a long time for that to be, you say, balanced or redeemed or whatever. It took it all the way to Moses. Isn't that right?
Yes, it took 26 generations.
Okay. So is that what's having to be redeemed then? Is it the blood that's spilt, or is it the person themselves, the soul that's been taken away?
The confusion is the way the verse is explaining it or being translated. Because you have to ask the question, the land cannot be cleansed, is the verse from Numbers. Well, where in Numbers are we talking about? The story of the Cain killing the Egyptian, Moses killing the Egyptian is in Exodus. So this is not a complete verse. We're only seeing part of the verse. But the next words that Rabbi Ashlag wrote, the killers are not satisfied that the evil serpent inflicts punishments on the world without reason. People do not look at cause and effect because they don't have memory of the cause. That's why if you go through something from a previous lifetime, you don't have the memory of what you did that caused that negative effect to come get you. But for whatever reason, this human being feels that he's entitled to kill the other human being. He doesn't know why. He hasn't really related it. As you brought up this, what if he's doing this as retribution? What if he's doing it as a balancing of the universe? Well, if it was going to be a balancing of the action, balancing the universe, it would not happen in an outlying district where there would be the need. It would be revealed somehow in the actions that it was balancing. As what did Moses do? He killed this Egyptian man. The Midrashim tells us he looked left and right. He saw that there was no redeeming virtue to this particular soul. It was all dark. So he killed him, and the land swallowed him up, according to the Midrash. The same thing applies to the blood that is spilled on the ground. The land swallows up that blood. It hides it. It conceals it. So people don't think that the illnesses that come to them come from their action. People do not think that the death of someone that's clearly coming because they're young, they don't think that it's coming because of that person's actions. We might say it about the other person, but we don't think it about ourselves. We're not honest with ourselves. And that's really what is being described here. And that is the answer to your question. How do we see it? We don't see the whole picture. We're not aware of the actions from previous lifetimes. Half the time, we forget the actions from a week ago, from yesterday. And all of a sudden, there's chaos in our life. Where did it come from? I'm a good person. Yes, you're a good person, but you still did some negative actions. And that chaos is not coming from the other person who's causing you the chaos. It's coming to you because you created that chaos, that need for that chaos to cleanse you. That's the way we have to look at ourselves. If it happens to me, I am the cause. I don't know how or what I did the cause. But I could have done teshuvah and I didn't. Because if I had done teshuvah, that chaos would not have found me. Metaphorically, there's like thousands of bombs circling the world, waiting for permission to come land on me. What created those bombs? My negative action. The effect of those, of my negative actions are those bombs. They're circling the world. They're waiting for permission to land on me. If I do teshuvah, then I'm not the same person. Therefore, the bomb cannot find me because I no longer exist as that person. So if I did a negative action and I do teshuvah, that bomb is still circling forever until Mashiach comes, and then the light that's within the bomb, that's powering the bomb, will return to its place in the Sephirot. This is the way the world works. We don't see the bombs. We feel them when they land. And when they land, it's because I didn't do teshuvah. And I guarantee you there were hints in the process of your life that you need to do teshuvah for every action that you did that has a bomb waiting to land on you. Hashem in his mercy will give you those hints. But we don't notice. We don't pick up on it because we have an ego that says, I'm a good person. Have you ever met a person who says he's not a good person? Anybody who says they're not a good person has a faulty ego or is a Kabbalist working on himself.
Well, okay. I have a faulty ego, and I don't know so much if I'm working to be a good Kabbalist, but I'm trying. That, you know, I don't have that great an ego thinking that, you know, everything I do is great. More or less, I always think, I mean, why can't I do better? Or, you know, but that's just the way I am.
Randy, thank you very much for a tremendously helpful teaching moment. Let's understand the way the world works.
Okay.
When you make the statement, and I should say not you, because everybody does it, and it's really a teaching aspect. I'm not being critical of you.
No. I know that's good.
I understand. When one says, I'm kind, I did a good action. I always do good deeds. What that person is doing is what Hashem has given them the attribute of kindness in order to do those good deeds. They are not the one doing it. Hashem has given them a personality and character traits that make them think to do good deeds as second nature. But if it is part of your tikkun to do that good deed, you have to recognize that you're cleansing and rebalancing the universe. So whenever you make a judgment that says, I'm kind, I'm a good person, that's your ego justifying yourself so it can hide all the negative things that you do. As long as you are studying Kabbalah, as long as you are listening to our Zohar classes, as long as you are doing some mitzvot, you are in the process of cleansing. You are in the process of balancing the universe. And you won't understand the cause and effect until you leave your body. And then you will be able to see more of the picture. But right now in your body, you're limited to what you remember. You're limited to what you see. You're limited. But where do these thoughts come from to do these good deeds? This is coming from Hashem. This is coming from the process. Are you doing it? You're doing a good deed, but you have the consciousness that I have an agenda. I want something in return. The only action in the physical world that you can be sure that you do not have an agenda, you're not looking for something to be returned, is when you bury someone else. Why can't you have an agenda for burying someone else? Because he can't pay you back. He's already dead. Do you expect his children to pay you back? Are you hoping that if I bury him, then someone will bury me? Those are all parts of the component. But the fact that you buried him
has joined.
We are all given personality. We are all given character traits. Where do you think those come from? They come from your DNA. Not your physical DNA, but your spiritual DNA composed of 22 letters. Or more than likely. But you have certain character traits and certain personality traits that are inherent in what you do. Some people never get upset. Some people have great patience. Is that a trait they should be proud of? No. Why? Because that trait was given to you to accomplish your tikkun. Some people have anger. Some people have reactive behaviors. Should you be proud of those? Only when you remove them can you be proud of them. Recognize we are who we are because that's the way Hashem made us. Yes, I change myself spiritually because I work on myself. Because I recognize, wait a second, I treated that person incorrectly. I have to do teshuvah. I treated that person incorrectly. I have to apologize. I treated that person incorrectly. I have to look at myself and say, why did I do that? Let's dig deeper and find out what is my motivation. This is the tool of binding by striking when utilized properly. But if you are ever saying, I'm a good person, that's not you. That comes from Hashem. Now, if you say, I'm not a good person, now you're doing your spiritual work because you're looking at yourself honestly. Just think about it. How many minutes a day do you think about doing good deeds versus how many minutes a day are you thinking about selfish concepts? Now, I'm not teaching you this to beat you up, to beat anyone up. It's not healthy for someone to take these statements and attack themselves with it. Look at yourself honestly. Are you a good person? Every soul is a good person. Every body, every physical body is not a good person. That's the relationship between body and soul. Where do you think the good inclination and the evil inclination comes from? The body is the evil inclination within your own heart. We are out of time, but I hope this has been helpful, and I also hope that no one takes it to heart to the level that they demean themselves or start feeling themselves as unhealthy. You're just being human. Shalom Gadol to one.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom to everyone.